remember this whole year, our whole thing, God has given us this thing of reimagining God. Reimagining God, what I mean by reimagining God, that many of you come to God in one form or another. You came to him, maybe you were scared into God. Some of you came in because you was in a tight situation or you found yourself in a place of despair. Some of you came in because, you know, you needed healing from him. But what we've been saying this year is that, yes, you know God and you know him in that way, but reimagine the space. What I mean by reimagine the space, reimagine, what if I knew God in a different way? And I've been asking this year that we all reimagine God, even myself, that I'm coming to know God in a different area of my life and another part of my faith and places in my faith that were weak. Kind of like working out your body. If you're a person that only worked out your arms, what about your legs? So when we say reimagine, it's like, can we see God doing things for us in another area of our lives? Can we see God doing something else for us in another part of our lives? So we've been reimagining him. So we started that month out with the reimagining. We start with what? Our own house. Amen. Got to start with your house. So we talk about cleaning up around your house before you try to pick up around somebody else's. And then in February, then we had to focus on blacks in the Bible and how God was empowering them and where they were and hold this whole thing of religious, racist construct and all these things and where they come from and how it has no place in the church and how it was brought into the church for those who wanted to have control and power. Amen. So now we march into March. We march into March. And this month's theme, as if you've been following on our website, is that what we're talking to governmental structures. Oh, come on, somebody. Government structures is where we are this month. And I believe God has given me a powerful message for you on today. So often I remember as a kid that when we were talking about government, they would always bring up real quickly, there's a separation between church and state. A separation between church and state. And for the longest time, I walked in that vein, and that was something that I would often preach. Sometimes you hear me often say, you know, I would tell them, you know, religious and politics didn't have any place in religion and et cetera, et cetera. But then in the last couple of years, as I started to reimagine God in this space, not that I'm getting political or anything like that, but I wanted to point out some things and talk about some things that I believe God would have us to consider. So as I look and I was doing a lot of my homework or my research, so to speak, as we was preparing for the Black Month, Black History Month, we found out that a lot of individuals, most individuals, if I dare not say probably 75-80% of them, had come to politics with some kind of religious background. Now, many of them, when they get there, don't act like it. Oh, come on, somebody. They don't act like they had good home training. They don't act like they have morals. They just do whatever they want to do because we know, already their absolute power corrupts absolutely. Their absolute power corrupts absolutely. So it seemed like individuals, when they get in this space, that they get to a point that they forget about who they are and where they come from and what they were brought up on. But we find that most of our, especially African-American leaders, not only were they the preachers, but they were also the politicians. Mm-hmm. They were judges and they were senators and all these things. Why? Because a couple of different reasons. If you look at it from their point of view, just a natural point of view, that many of them were self-employed, because if they were the preacher, then they had a little bit more time on their hands to go visit the sick and these kind of things. So therefore, they also had a tendency to be into politics. And because they were visiting the sick and the poor and trying to help those in need, they knew what their needs of the community were. Oh, come on, somebody. I know we don't do that no more. We got people who just want to sit up here and just collect checks. They don't want to do that hard work. So they knew what the needs were of the community were. And because they knew what the needs of the community were, it was a little bit easier for them when they went up to go the time to get voted, that the people knew who they were, because these people came from the people. They came from amongst the people. And they knew that the people that they were voting for had a direct desire to fix the areas or the needs that they had. Why? Because many of them, in fact, had been there giving up their own time and own resources to try to help them. So therefore, when it came time for them to run for office or whatever the case may be, then these individuals just would go ahead and they would vote for them, and this would kind of put them to there with the intention that they can get their hands on more resources to be able to help those people in that community. I know I just said a lot. I hope that you follow me. So the whole intent of this was, it's one point that they were getting into it so that they can get their hands on the resources so that they can adequately distribute the resources to those who needed them the most. Now we find, as we fast forward to the year 2020, that a lot of times that we don't get the same thing or the same results anymore. We have people now who can Biden weighs into office. You know, if you got enough money now, you can almost literally buy your way. We know that. You got so many ads and so many things that people see your name more than they see anybody else's. They end up doing it just out of what? Out of familiarity. Mm-hmm. That they're familiar with your name. Not that you may be the best candidate, but you're the only one that they actually even know or acknowledge is even running. This is why super PACs and all these things are important. But we've seen in the last couple of years a shift of what's going on, and that, you know, that believers are now coming back into the space, and God is using them, and God is raising up some godly men and women. Because even in the Bible, he said that the government sits on the shoulders. What is the government? The government is nothing but a structure. It's a structure. It's a way of doing things. It's a way of taking community, of collecting resources and redistributing. That's all it is. It's a way of collecting resources and redistributing. You come together for what? For protection. I don't know about you. I can't fight off an army, but if I have the entire community behind me, then what? I'm able to fight them off. This is why we have what we call the United States of America. Every state has its own set of government inside of it. But when it's time to fight, we all come together collectively and use the power of our collective states to be able to help defend our country. Are y'all with me? So this is why, you know, sometimes we're not as seemingly united. And you have some areas that say, you know, that they may succeed from the, you know, from the United States and all this, you know, stuff that you hear. Why? Because they believe that they have enough to be able to take care of their own, which means that they need their own military, they need their own army and all this kind of stuff, which right now is just crazy talk. Amen. People are always talking. But I want you to understand the basis of where we're going with government on today. So if I go forward on today, we want to go to the book of, let me go. I want to start in, let me pull up my notes here. I'm not going to be before you very, very long, but I want to drop this bomb on you and get on out of your way. We want to go to 1 Corinthians. First, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to go to verses 3, chapter 3, verse 6. 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. Verse 6. It's back up to verse 5. For those who don't have the Bible, I will go ahead and screen share with you here. Hopefully everything is in order. Amen. Still got time to share. If you need to, still got time to share. Amen. Let me get us straight here. Let me get rid of this thing here. Amen, amen. All right, let's go. All right, as always, blueletterbible.com. Absolutely love using this. Okay, let me see if I can stop it moving here. All right, here we go. All right, I want to read 1 Corinthians 3 and 5, and it says this. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth anything, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. All right, and then will you turn with me to Genesis? We're going to go a couple of places here. We're going to go to Genesis 37, and I want to go to verse 5. Genesis 37, verse 5. Let's start at verse 5. And it says this, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obstinence to my sheep. All right. And then we want to go to 40, Genesis 40. Flip over a couple of chapters. And we want to go to verse 20. And I'm doing it this way so I don't have to read the entire story. So, but you can, if I get all the pieces, I'm going to give you all the details in between. All right, and it says this. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgate him. All right, and the last one, I'm going to go to 41. So if you know the story, Joseph takes up over half, I'm going to say half, but he takes a good amount of the book of Genesis. We want to go to 38. Verse 38, and it says this. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this man is, a man whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in the vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot, which had been, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he would be made ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or his foot in the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zephaniathah, I hope I got that right, and gave him to his wife, Asenath, I might have tore that up, and the daughter of Potiphar, priest and y'all forgive me, I know I told those up. And Joseph went on out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Will you pray with me one moment while we're in this space? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, and the Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you right now, Lord Jesus. I ask that this word, Lord, you come forth today. Lord, you let it be powerful, let it be swift, Lord Jesus. Let it be cutting, oh God, but it be building, it be nurturing, Lord Jesus. Let it be inspiring, oh God. Lord, for you know which you have to come out of this, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name in advance. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If I would take for a subject for you this morning, if we would, seed in the ground, breakthrough. Seed in the ground, breakthrough. So as we look, and I read several verses for you, we started out with one of the familiar scriptures about Paul and Apollos, and it was talking about how one was planting the seed and another was watering, but they had to make sure that they gave credit and honor to where honor was due. It was that none of us caused these things to grow. We done our part. You know, you dug the hole, you put the seed in the ground, but it's he that gives the increase. He being what? God gives the increase. That, you know, sometimes we get in a place and we find ourselves that we're thinking that things we've done of our own. We think it was things that we've done that God is, that, you know, we put up forth in the effort and we did this. And yes, you did the effort, but it was God who allowed the door to be open. It was God who put someone in the way. It was God who allowed them to see you, because we can see clearly through the life of Joseph that God is doing something. Here I bring up Joseph because Joseph is working in government. Joseph did not start out as a government employee. But in fact, we find that Joseph was actually almost a little poor boy out there in the land with his brothers. Amen. It was one of the youngest of his brothers, and he finds himself in a in a place that he has a dream, that God has given him big dreams and God has given him big visions. And some of you, God has given you big dreams and God has given you big visions. And you find yourself in a little place. We used to say that you had big when small got you, amen. That you had, that you had $1 million eyes but 10 cents pockets, amen. But nonetheless, I'm here to tell you today to remind you that God is able to do either any and everything, and that above and far beyond. Because here we find Joseph finds himself in a space that even at the time that he was having these dreams, he wasn't sure what was going on. But here he shared the dream with brothers. He shared the dream with others around him. And what we find is an instant jealousy. We find that brothers and sisters here, that they find not what God is going to do through him, not how God is going to bless all of them, not how God is going to open up doors for all of them, not how God is going to use him to survive, but they find that why is he have this when we don't? That if you know anything about the story of Joseph, amen, you find that his brothers were already at odds with him because his father had blessed him with a coat of many colors. I often tell people that I believe that coat of many colors was representative, and it was a foreshadowing of him being representative of many nations, of the many nations and the many people who would survive and who would live because of what Joseph did. I'm here to tell you today that God will show you glimpses of what you're going to be. You know, when you get a pack of seeds, amen, when you see the pack of seeds, what they do to the pack of seeds is, typically when you buy modern day seeds, what you find is on the pack of seeds, they say what the seed is, that they already know what this seed is going to be if it's properly nurtured, if it's properly planted, and it's properly watered, that the seed will become what's written on the label. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm here to tell you today, we already sung this song this morning, that my gift, this is my gift, and it looks good on me, but I'm here to tell you, I already know that we already know that they already know what you're going to be because it's written on the label. It's just a matter of time. Are you going to be planted properly? Are you going to be watered properly? Are you going to be in a place that you allow God to use you? Are you going to be in a place where things can happen to you and you don't give up on God? Woo! Yeah, no, my son. Come on, y'all. I'm feeling my help this morning. But are you going to be in a place that God can use you? Are you going to be in a place sometimes you have to deal with things and people calling you outside of your name and people using your gift and people taking advantage of you and knowing that, wait, Lord, it's all for God's glory, that even though, Lord, I said I wanted to be used, oh God, and it seems like when I'm being used by you, it don't feel good. It didn't come exactly the way that I thought it would come, oh God. It didn't come with lights and glamour, Lord. It didn't come with chairs, Lord. It didn't come with a Bugatti, oh God. It didn't come with a Fendi bag, oh God. It didn't come, Lord, with a high-ranking position, but it came, Lord Jesus, as dirt. It came in isolation. It came in darkness, oh God. It came as being looked over, Lord. It came as being trampled upon underground, oh God. Because those are seed are underfoot, oh God, that they're waiting to be germinated. For as he that gives the increase and in due season, the Bible tells us that what you shall reap if you faint not. But during that season, that time, that process, that time of growth, that time of understanding, that prime, that time of being made into what it is God is trying to make you to be, is don't feel good. No, it don't. Because all we see here now, you know, we started with the beginning of Joseph where he was talking to his brothers. And I fast forwarded to the end this morning where you find Joseph, what, already sitting on the throne. But let's talk about those years in between Joseph's throne room and he was at home in his own room. Oh, come on, somebody. Let's talk about the time between the throne room and when Joseph was at home in his own room. Because see, that many of you today that's sitting there in isolation during the pandemic was wondering, God, what I'm going to do? Lord, what's the next level? Lord, I desire to do this, Lord, and I desire to do that, Lord. You put this in me, oh God, and I don't know why, Lord Jesus. I just want better for myself, Lord. I want better for the people around me, oh God. I don't know why, Lord Jesus, that, Lord Jesus, I feel, Lord Jesus, I need to get into politics, oh God, and do this. But Lord, I know it's a dirty game, Lord, and Lord, the government structure, Lord, and they said that this is a separation between church and state, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to be looked at in the space, oh God. How are my own people going to look at me, oh God? Are my own people going to walk away from me and say that he's crazy? Are my own people going to walk away from me and say, I don't know, what is he doing? Am I going to have the support, Lord Jesus, of those around me? But Lord, you've called us into this space. Oh, come on, somebody. What am I saying? Let's start. Number one, seeds are covered by which they need to grow. Oh, come on, somebody. Seeds are covered by dirt. For a seed to grow, it must be what? Planted. Some of you have been planted and you wanted to move. God has planted you in a place and you've grown some roots there, but you're not sure exactly what's going to happen. See, sometimes plants are only put in a certain place for a certain season, and then they're what? They're transferred. See, Joseph was born where he was born. He was born in the family he was born in for a particular reason, so that God can get the glory out of his life, so God can use this. God was already making a way of escape for Joseph and his family before Joseph even knew it. He put Joseph in that space. He grew Joseph around those brothers. God knew exactly what they would do. But during this what? This time of isolation, we find that Joseph, when he's being buried in the sand, oh, come on, somebody. You know, some of you are just what? Your seeds, and you right now, you're in a state that you've been buried. And you're looking at, Lord, what did I do, Lord, you to be thrown in this pit? Because we're reminded what? That one of the first things that we find in Joseph's life is that what? He's misunderstood by his family. There's 11 significant events about Joseph's life. And I'm going to give you all 11 of them. Number one, Joseph was misunderstood by his family. See, Joseph in his zeal for what God has given him and his zeal to go forth and his zeal, because Joseph was just one of those people, he wanted to see everybody happy. Joseph then was oblivious to all these things. Joseph wasn't thinking about political positioning. Joseph was just thinking that I want to see the space be better. I want to see those around me prosper. I want to see those around me have some. I don't want to only want to be the only one in the space enjoying this. I don't want to be now, as we used to say, it ain't no fun if the homies can't have none. And I want to see others be able to go to the next level. I want them to be able to see them prosper. I want to be able to see other people have everything they need. I want to be able to see them work one job and not have to work five jobs to be able to take care of their family. I want to be able to see them go on vacation sometimes and enjoy their family. I want to be able to see them go forth and know that what they can have health insurance and be able to take care of their family. That's all we all desire and all we want, to pursue the happiness they tell me it is. Oh, come on, somebody. But his own family misunderstood him because all he wanted was the best for everybody. But then we find that even in his misunderstanding that the family would write some off and they would put into a hole. Oh, come on, somebody. Joseph, how many of you know your seed? Oh, come on, somebody. Your gift looks good on you. It was a reason we sung that song today. It was a reason why we sung Just For Me, because I'm here to remind you that when it's all said and done, you just say the name of Jesus because he's giving you one more chance. Oh, we don't do anything for this happenstance, but it's strategically aligned to what God has given us as we go forward. And I'm here to tell you today that God has been strategic in your life. He's strategic in how he set you up, even though you don't like it. And I know I don't like it sometimes. And I find myself saying, Lord, why? When it seemed like the good, Lord Jesus, are not getting being taken care of. Why, Lord? When it seemed like those around me, Lord Jesus, who should have been raised, was not raised up. Why, Lord Jesus? It just seemed like that, Lord Jesus, things are just turning themselves on their head. And I've got to be reminded, brothers and sisters, on today that God has a plan, that he has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. And that what? That these seeds are just being buried, but breakthrough is coming out the wild. Then he goes on and we find that what? Now Joseph is what? He's essentially buried in the ground. What? He's in a pit and his brothers threw him in this pit and they was waiting for animals to come and get him. But what we find is now, instead of the pit, they figure out a way that they can prosper off of him. They use him. Oh, come on, somebody. I know some of us have found ourselves in that place in our jobs and in our churches and other places and things that we do in our family. It seems like we're just being used. Amen. And nobody likes to be used. Joseph was sold as a slave to Potiphar. Story number two. I told you that was 11 events that happened to him. Number two event, he was sold into slavery. Some of you look at your current circumstance and it feels like slavery. Now, it's not, you know, and nobody equate, it's nowhere does it equate to the slavery we saw our ancestors have. Some of us not being beat and tortured, but some of us are being mentally tortured. Oh, come on, somebody. Some of us are being mentally tortured to the point that we don't know what else to do. We just want to give up. We want to throw in the towel. It seemed like, you know what, I came in to do right by this, and they won't do right by me. All I want to do is be able to take care of myself and my family, and they won't do right by me. It seemed like they put me in this place, and they put me in this position, and they know the skill set I got. They know what I bring to the table, but yet they stick me over here. And it seemed like someone who was less skilled and less talented, well, because they got connections. They over here. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, am I in somebody's living room today? So then what? So now Potiphar, he's sold to Potiphar, and he's working with Potiphar. But you know what Joseph does? He's excellent in the space. No matter where you are, brothers and sisters, no matter what you're doing, I don't care what guy, if they got you shoveling dog doo-doo, that you be excellent and you be the best dog doo-doo shuffler there is. Why? Because they ain't going to say, well, you know what? We had him doing the worst of the worst. We had her doing the worst of the worst. Yet they were still excellent. And they represented God and they represented God's integrity to the best of their ability. See, sometimes in life that, you know, we find that things happen to us and we don't understand that it ain't fair. No. But God ever told me that it was going to be fair? He told me that he was going to be just. And if I rely on my faith to believe that, say, God, this is not fair, but you never said fair. Show me the Bible where he said he was going to be fair. Y'all just think, whoo, touching me this morning. Because I preach to myself sometimes. I do. And it's easy to do when anybody in this room but me and this camera. So I forget that you all are even there. But fair ain't fair, because God is just. And we don't serve a fair God. We serve a just God. And I'm here to tell you all, I'm in this space. I'm there with you. I don't get it. Why did this one die? Like they had the whole life ahead of them, God. Well, why did this one get it? This one knows nothing. Why is this happening here, Lord? Why did this one get this promotion? Lord, why is this one's child, their children healthy? Lord, why is their spouse healthy when they don't serve you? And here I am, Lord, I give my life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. It's my reasonable service, you tell me. Yet I ask these questions. I can imagine how Joseph felt. That's that seed in the ground. Now, one thing you have to remember about the seed has everything with it it needs to survive. What do you mean, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. The seed is covered by dirt. If the seed is planted in fertile ground, it has everything it needs to survive. Watch this. Because the seed has the ability. This is when it comes to your gifting. You're able to take the good out of a bad situation. You're able to see the silver lining that this is bad. But you know what? Somewhere in there, God touches your spirit and you say, but let me take this part. And let me take that part. And you get to eat in the midst of famine. Woo! Come on, somebody. I'm talking to somebody today. That you eat in the midst of famine. When everybody else seems like they're struggling in this space. When everybody else seems like they're going to throw in the towel. When everybody else is withering on the vine. For some reason, you are thriving in this space. You are thriving. Why? Because God is giving you that part of that gifting that you wear, that you're able to see in that dirt. Uh-oh, there's a little something I need to eat. Uh-oh, let me take that right there. That's a nutrient. Uh-oh, let me take that right there. It's a nugget. Oh, let me take that right here for self-keeping. And what happens is the thing that you need to grow, he gives you the raw material. See, some of us don't want to do the work. God gives us the raw material. This is what the Bible said, what? Faith without works is dead. You can believe all you want, but you got to do the work. So God has given us the raw material. A chair just does not become a chair because I told it to be. I don't have that power yet. Notice I said yet, because God, what? He's going to give us that power one day. When we up there and we ruling with him. Because see, he has that power. Wait, the Bible said, he speaks those things as if they were. And when he speaks to them, then they what? They become that. But for you and I, what he's done is he's allowed us, what? Because of the sin of Adam, we got to put these hands to work. So therefore, you can call it. You can say it. You can think it. You can believe it. But until you put your hands to the work, it's not going to become it. Until you put your hands to the work, I don't care how much you decree and declare and all this stuff and people who tell you that stuff. And that stuff is true. It is. But they don't give you a whole truth. And the whole truth is, you got to put these hands to the plow. Mm-hmm. So now that tree becomes that chair. Why? Because I worked that tree. I worked with the raw material. So that means I had to cut away some of it. I had to cut the tree down. I had to cut it. I had to remove it. I had to nail it. I had to glue it. And I had to form it to it to be what it was supposed to be. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's still what? That same tree. It's just changed forms. I'm here to tell you today that God is taking you and he's doing it. What? Changing forms. There's a transformation, which means that you are what? Changing forms even before our very eyes. Yes, physically you might gain a little weight or lose a little weight. You might lose your hair like me or whatever the case may be. But that's also a transformation that's happening inside of you. Oh, come on, somebody. The transformation, the growing of your faith. The growing of your understanding, the growing of where you are, the growing of, Lord, why these things are happening to me the way that they happen, and to know, Lord Jesus, am I going to make it? I'm here to tell you today that he hadn't forgot you. He hadn't forgot that you're going to what? You're going to make it. So what do we find here? Now we go on with Potiphar. Where's Potiphar going? What we got going on with Potiphar? So now he's in Potiphar's house. Mm-hmm. Then he's what? He's moved. Event number three, he is moved a place far from home. Far from home. Far from home from some of you mean that, you know, you moved away and people don't understand why you moved away. Do you think you're better than us and all this stuff? No. God's got me in isolation and I'm growing. I'm transforming into space. Some of you, you moved away in the sense that, you know, I grew up in this church. I grew up understanding this, but now God has taught me some other things, and now I'm transforming to the next level. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that they weren't bad people or none of that, but it's, my understanding has changed. My gifting has changed. My gifting is making room for me. Nothing against those people. Some of you move far, far away from home in the sense that your whole mindset of how you look at things, it's very different than others. All these are what? Moving from home. And sometimes due to circumstances, you have moved from home. Then the next event that we see in his life is he's given what? Favor in Potiphar's house. See, while you're going through this process, some of you got some wins. Let's be honest. You ain't where you want to be. This is what pulls at you. This is what eats at you, is that you know you're not where you're supposed to be. But where you are is not terrible. Come on, somebody. Where you are is what? Not terrible. Mm-hmm. It could be better, but it's not. The truth of the matter is it's not terrible. It's not. It's not. It could be worse. You could be jobless. Mm-hmm. You could have no health insurance. I know it's not the best health insurance. Mm-hmm. You could have no kids. Mm-hmm. You could have no spouse. Mm-hmm. You see where I'm getting at? You could have the ability that you can't get any health. Mm-hmm. So how we look at these things. So God is what? He's put favor on us. Some of you have favor on your life. When I mean favor is simply what? Access. God has given you access to people and things and places and folks. Mm-hmm. Folks, you can pick up the phone and you can call folks that people only imagine to talk to. You talk to them on a regular basis. Access. Favor is access. That you can talk to folks. Reach out to folk, and they pick up the phone for you. Don't count it strange. You know, people invite you to things and send you to places that you never even dreamed of. Mm-hmm. Access. That's what we're talking about. Talking about you, Joseph. So he's giving them access in the house. Now watch this. Now, while you enjoying this access, see, this is how God got to do with us. Because see, some of us, we get to the point, well, Lord, I know you called me to be here. I know you called me to speak truth to power. But in all this, I've been through enough. And now I'm at this space. And all of a sudden, I turn on this switch that I become complacent. Well, I can make it work on this money. We'll be all right. Well, you know, yeah, I got health insurance. We'll be okay. Well, I guess it just might not have been meant for me to get a husband. So, all right. Well, maybe it just meant for my children to be like this. It's okay. You get complacent. Why? Because you're trying to make yourself comfortable where it is to justify it within yourself. Oh, I can just talk about me. Mm-hmm. When you know God has called you to more, but you're like, well, God, if this is, and you say stuff like this, but Lord, if this is my plot in life, or Lord, this is where you got me to be, I'm just going to be satisfied. And when, as we become complacent, what does God have to do? Because, you know, you favor and access and all these things, it's not a bad life. But he's calling you to more. So what does he have to do? He has to make it uncomfortable. So the next thing that happens in Joseph's life, the next event is what? Joseph gets falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Joseph gets falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Why? Because you and I, we walk in integrity. But because you walk in integrity, it's easy, you're an easier target for somebody to try to come after you with something wrong. Someone to accuse you of something. I'll never forget one time I was at work and I got accused of something. That thing bothered me so bad because I know I'm not even close to doing what they accused me of. And it bothered me bad. It did. I can't even tell you how bad it bothered me. Because I'm like, well, why would somebody say that? Why would somebody do that? And the thing is, it'd be the very people that you've helped, the very ones you laid your neck down the line, the very ones you've lent your credibility to, the very ones that you've used your access or your favor to bless. Don't count it strange. The Bible said, don't count it strange. Because, you know, if all men don't speak well of you, and I know we all want to be spoken well of. I know I do. We all want to be liked. I know I do, too. But the truth of the matter is, someone is going to see your access. And it's not even a jealousy thing. It's a God thing. It's God making you. We in March. This is the time of year. Y'all going to see them little cocoons and these butterflies going to start coming out. Remember, that was a process. And I'm here to tell you today that this is also a process. You're just a seed in the ground, but breakthrough's coming. So now he's been what? He's accused of raping, which is a really, really, really a bad crime. He's been accused of raping the governor's wife, Potiphar's wife. So as a result of that, what has he done? He's thrown into prison. Event, the next event, prison. What is prison? Another level of isolation. See, I'm here to tell you today, as God moves you from level to level, the isolation chambers change. The first time we find Joseph in isolation, he was isolated from his family. The next time we find him in isolation, he was in a pit, and he was in his giftings were going to be used, so they sold him. Now, the next time we find him in isolation, we find him what? Now in prison. So the levels of isolation change, but yet, nonetheless, it's still isolation. So in prison, he is taken care of. Yes, he's washed out over, but even then, remember I told you, if you're going to be the best dog boo-boo shuffler, then you need to be the best one you can be. Here we have Joseph in prison, and he's the best prisoner he can be, even in his prison. He comes to work on time. He blessed people. He does the right thing because it's the right thing to do, even if it sometimes cost him. This is called walking in integrity. And it's because of that, God has given what? Favor. Access, remember? Now what? Even the warden trusts Joseph. All the other guys in prison trust Joseph. And they find about Joseph. And Joseph has this thing where even in prison, his gift is making room for him. Even in prison, he's being what? He's helping others. Some of you feel like you're in your own virtual prison, and you're not literally in prison, but you're in the prison of your mind. Some of you are in prison of the job space, and some of you are in prison of, you know, you seem like you're in prison of the relationship and marriages and family. You just feel like you're just stuck. How many of you feel like you've been stuck? How many of you feel like you're currently stuck? You feel that way. But I'm here to remind you today that what? God has a place. We're talking about governmental structures that in due season, because it's God that gives the increase. So what does Joseph do? Joseph goes in there and he does all these things and he's telling his boys, hey, yeah, I'm going to hook you up. But hey, dog, when you get yours, remember me. Y'all know how we do. Hey, when you finally get yours, when this happens to you, remember me. So the next life changing event that happens for Joseph is what? He's put in charge of all the prisoners. He's the head prisoner. See, even when you're in that space, see, as we used to say, game recognizes game. When you got the goods, it doesn't matter where you are. The cream always rises to the top. So I'm here to tell you that don't be in the desolate about where you are and what you're going through, because God knows, and he's just using that to hone your skills. Because there's some people whose lives are going to be changed because you exist. So now what? Joseph is what? In prison. And now he becomes the model prisoner. He's over all the prisoners in the space. And then they what? They found out that he has this extraordinary gift. And this gift is what? That he can interpret dreams. And they have, everybody has dreams. So now they start bringing Joseph their dreams. And Joseph starts to interpret their dreams. He tells the chief cupbearer of his dream. Mm-hmm. Remember that? And then he tells the baker of his dream. And what happens is exactly what Joseph tells them comes to pass. How many of you know God has used some of you all to tell people some things and they've come to pass, just like God told you? Mm-hmm. And all you say, well, God, just remember me. You know, when you get out, you know what I'm saying, hook a brother up. You know, when my time comes, just remember, you know, I'm not asking you to do anything extraordinary, but when it's my turn, just remember me. And what happens? The Bible tells us that they get there and they do not remember Joseph. They're so caught up in their win. They're so caught up in their freedom. And this can be frustrating because sometimes you and I as believers, we see people that, you know what, when we found them, they were crackheads. When we found them, they was in the gutter. When we found them, they were promiscuous. When we found them, they were this, they were that. But God used us and our gift, things that God has given us, which was for them. Oh, come on, don't get it twisted now, because what's for me is not for me. It's for somebody else. But he used what I was to help them out of that space. And all you say is, look, you know what? Pass it forward. Pay it forward, right, is what we call it. And so you wait for them to pay it forward. And it seems like the pay it forward never comes back. You see them going on to greater and higher things, and they don't even say thank you. You see them doing better, bigger and better, and they don't even say, you know what? Thank you for helping me during that time. You know, your little church don't mean anything to them. Because, you know, now they up here and they in that great big old church, or they doing this and they doing that. Are y'all with me this morning? I just bring it to where we are so we can be clear on how we understand this. Mm-hmm. So now we go through all of these things, and Joseph is still sitting there, the most gifted person in the kingdom, the most talented person in the kingdom, the most articulate person in the kingdom, and where is he? In prison. Where the worst of the worst is, where the murderers are, where the cheats are, where the rapists are. Now, don't get it twisted. There are some people in prison who are in Joseph's plot. Everybody in jail ain't don't supposed to be there. We know that. But in Joseph's case, he's dealt with some who did need to be there. And Joseph finds himself frustrated. How many of you find yourself sometimes just frustrated? Because you know you're supposed to be more than what you see. You know in your heart, this is not your end. You know this is not what God has called you to be. So therefore, you're frustrated. You don't know what to do and how to change it. Where is this going to go? So therefore, you're almost in the space. You're just like, no, I give up. They can have it all. Frustration. And we find that what frustration comes from unmet expectation. Thank you, T.D. Jakes, for that. Unmet expectation. Why? Because you expect to be a certain thing because you know what God has told you, but it's not happening, and it's not happening within the time period you thought should happen. So now you become frustrated to the point that you want to quit. You want to throw in the towel. You want to say, I'm done. It didn't work out the way you thought it was going to work out. You expected your success to be a linear line, meaning that's a straight, and it's more like this. Maybe there. Uh-huh. That's how your really looks, right? If we truth be told. But something else happens. So after they even gone, and now the cupbearer is gone, and the chief cupbearer is on up there, he's up there doing his thing. 2 more years pass. Joseph's in prison. You know, and just thinking, well, maybe, you know, and this is when you start to get again. Maybe this is my plot. Maybe this is where I need to be. Maybe, Lord, this is what you call me to do. And I just need to be satisfied with that. Maybe I just misheard the prophet. Or maybe he was prophesying. You get there. Why? Because we human. And we're trying to justify where we are because we don't understand. Because, you know, God, you showed me this. But this is what all I can see is this. Lord, you showed me high level. But Lord, all I see is the lowest of the low. Lord, you told me next and I'll be able to speak to kings and queens and all this stuff and have this godly influence and structure in government. But I can't even get elected on the school board. Come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? So what did we find? Next level. There comes the perfect storm. See, sometimes when God is ready, and I'm speaking to myself on this, he has a way of creating a perfect storm. And the perfect storm is created where it only can fit what? That one key. See, you know, there's a lot. See, when God is taking you through all this, and I think about it as a key. A key. You know, a key has teeth, right? And the teeth of those keys, or the bumps of those keys, if you know anything about a lock, and I preached a message, man, about almost 10 years ago now, about the key and the lock. And what a lock has, it has what it calls tumblers. Now, I know y'all didn't want to get a locksmith lesson this morning, but y'all know it's the teaching. And the way that the key works is that the tumblers are getting moved. And those tumblers are adjusted that when it fits right perfect, that all the springs and stuff in the tumblers are set up, it opens the cylinder, and therefore the lock can be turned. Until then, all those little tumblers are blocking why you can't turn the lock. So they all got to exactly match up straight, exactly how they need to be. And remember, what happened is the little pieces, the little metal pieces inside are different sizes. So when they make a key, they have to make it high enough to get this one, or low enough where it can make that one fall down. Because there's a spring that's constantly putting tension on it. See, there's tension always in your life. Without tension, you wouldn't pray. Without tension, you wouldn't fast. Without tension, you wouldn't worship. So if you're praying for tension to go away, stop it. Waste of time. You're going to always have tension. That's what keeps you going. But that key that he's made you to be. So this whole time he's been forming you to be this key. And this key slips into this lock. And as it slips into this lock, all the things line up. God just created the perfect lock that only your gift, your key, is going to open. So the next thing we find is what? Joseph is there interpreting Pharaoh's dream. Number 10. He's interpreting Pharaoh's dream. Why? Because Joseph was the only one who had the key to unlock that dream. And Pharaoh made it tough for him, too. He told him, not only you tell me what the dream is, then you tell me what the interpretation of the dream is. And notice this, when Joseph gets done with all of this, what does he do? He doesn't sit up and take, okay, now, King, that I've done this for you, yeah, I need you to do this. See, this is what we got to be careful of. You and I both. That, you know, we know that God has given us the gift. We know we worked in this space. We know we've done the work. Now, do we put ourselves on that platform? Do we put ourselves on that pedestal? Watch what Joseph did. Joseph didn't say anything. Joseph just told him what he needed to do. He told him what he needed to do. He said, look, if we're going to make this great, this is how we're going to do this. And this is how it's going to happen. And this is why it's going to be better. Mm-hmm. And through all of this, as we read towards the end of this story today, that what? Pharaoh looked and said, I don't know anybody else. Because God touched Pharaoh's heart. But God holds the king's heart in his hand, and he can turn it whatever way he may. Right? And so he touches Pharaoh's heart, and Pharaoh tells him, say, look, you're the man for the job. Now, at that moment, the Bible tells us that Joseph was what? 30 years old. For 23 years of Joseph's life, he dealt with the pool of life. He dealt with stuff that just seemed like, Lord, why in the world? Why would I just not go outside and run around the back and put a shotgun in my mouth and end it today? Some of you feel that way. But I'm here to tell you today, don't do that, because God has an expected end for you to have good success. And that what? It's going to be people that you're going to touch and open up the door for. Why? Because he's put you in that position. I know you're going through right now, but this is part of the making process, so that when you get there, you won't say that you did it. You won't get up there. You won't be bitter about it. You won't get up there and you won't, you know, make your own platform and make your own thing. But you'll understand that, well, I'm for the people and it's really about the people. Oh, come on, somebody. We're talking about government structure today. Because God is raising up a generation. We are the repairs of the breach that he talks about in Isaiah. You and I. And he's raising some of you up right now. Some of you thought you were too old. Nope. Now's the time. Why? Because now you didn't raise them children. And now you can speak freely. And he knew that was important to you. So he honored your request. Now it's the time for you to get on that school board. Mm-hmm. Now it's the time for you to run for that county commissioner, because we need some people of integrity in the space, and God has called you in that space. What else do you have to lose? Well, you said, well, I ain't never run this. Well, I'm gonna tell you what, we have a president who ain't never ran anything either. Yeah, he ran the country for 4 years. What do you got to lose? Nothing. Because God is giving you favor, he's giving you access, and your gift fits the keyhole. And if your gift fits the keyhole, you're the only one that's going to be able to open it in the way that it needs to be opened, so that we get all of it and not some of it. See, there are going to be others that's going to try, but they can't do what you do. They don't have the gifting that you have. They don't have the anointing you have. They haven't been through the crap that you've been through. I know my wife gonna get me for using that word later. Sorry, baby. Do you understand what I'm saying? This stuff is not for naught. He knows exactly where you are, what you're going through, and he has your Joseph moment already ready for you. If we can hang on in there. Government structure. He's called some of you. So now you know, we read that Joseph, that last thing, number 11 that happens to Joseph, is that he became second in command of all of Egypt. There's nothing wrong with being a good helper. See, good helpers eat at the king's table. They ride in the king's car. They feast at the king's party. There's nothing wrong with being a great number two. Because in due season, if it's Lord's will, you'd be number one too. And here we find Joseph came from essentially nothing to be in a space that he could control the entire land. Nobody spoke to him but Pharaoh. But God, through his integrity and where he's gone and what he's been through, that he put him in a space that he'll be able to bless somebody else. And what we find, if you read a little bit more of the story, full circle, what comes in is the same family that disowned him, the same family that sold him into slavery, the same family that used him, the same people are now in need of his help. And because of what he went through, he learned and he understood that it's not just for me, but this gift that I have is also for you. I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, when you get there and God opens up that door for you, remember the gift is not just for me, but it's really for them. And Joseph's family comes to Egypt, and they come in 70. And these are the same people we later find to be called the children of Israel. And when they exodus out of Egypt from under the harsh Pharaoh, because remember the Bible talks about there's another Pharaoh who comes that they don't know them. And, you know, Joseph was dead. Nobody remembered Joseph after a while. But why they did, they ate of the good of the land. And I'm here to tell you today, that the people, the county, the area, the school children that you run for that board for is going to be better because of you. The county commissioner that you are, your county is going to be better because of you. The government that you run for, they're going to be better because of you. Because you speak truth to power at work and you walk in integrity and you do your job, they can't come get you because you do your work. But people, when they really want answers, they come into you because they trust you. They know you'd be a person of integrity. They know you'd be a person of hard work. They know you'd be a person of principle. And I know right now it didn't look like it. It don't feel like it. It actually feels strange. And you're asking yourself, why are they asking me? And I'm asking you, why not ask you? Because God is giving you the gift. Yes, you're a seed in the ground, but this is breakthrough. You're not too old. You're not too young. Some of you sitting back, oh, I'm too old, I'm retired. No, this means you can go and now we're reckless abandoned. What do they got to do to you? Oh, they're going to say, oh, they just old and senile. Yep, let me be old and senile, but yep, we're not passing this law because it's contrary to what we need to be doing, the blessed people. It's not fair to these folks. Or we're going to bless folk in this area because this is what they need to do. Y'all been taking this money and been doing whatever, throwing parties with it forever. No, let's help some people go to school. Mm-hmm. God is going to put you in a position where you can get folks some access. Then you'll be able to hire good people, people who desire to have these jobs and desire to be in these spaces, who have the skill set but just lack opportunity. See, this is what Joseph did. Joseph controlled the gross domestic product for Egypt. And Joseph hired thousands of people. And you know he hired some of his people too. because they were ready. They was in the space and they needed. Why? Because he remembered when I came through, they forgot about me, but I'm not going to be like that. I don't remember them. I hope I didn't take too much of your time today. God bless you all. I love you all. Say, Pastor Church, you all just a tremendous group of people with me. Thank you for putting up with Pastor on today. I also want to remind you real quickly as we get ready to close, a couple of things. Remember, we have revival coming up this week on Wednesday night. So that'll be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 7 p.m. Also, I ask that you fast with me if you're able to on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I mean, Monday is a half a day to 12 o'clock. Tuesday, we go to 3 o'clock. And then on Wednesday, we go to 5 o'clock. Fast with me on those days. You will get some information about prayer time. I will send out a number. Those who are on our text list, you know who you are. I send the number out to text, and we'll do some morning prayer. Amen. Towards this revival, I just believe God is going to bless the space, and I don't know what he's going to do and how he's going to do it, but, you know, he's going to do it, and we're just looking forward to that revival. Amen. I think that's all that I have. Remember, Women at the Well, they will meet on Monday. My assumption is they're going to meet tomorrow because they have a special guest. And then on Thursday at the Well, we'll play that one by ear because I know we know some people want to. Really want to be there in this place, but we do have revival, so we want to honor that. Amen. So, Man at the Well, we will postpone for this week, so I'll put that out there so individuals would know. But the women will meet at the Well on tomorrow. All right, and I think that is all. If you need me, you all know how to get in contact with me. Reach out, and we'll go from there. So, at this time, I ask that that we take the time to do tithe and offering. If you would like to support the Safe House Church ministry, we ask that you, in form of check or money order, you make a check or money order out to Finding Fish Ministries. That's P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Again, that's Finding Fish Ministries, P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Also, at the Cash App, you can do the $ Safe House Church GSO. Again, that's Safe House Church GSO. Or you can do PayPal, paypal.me/ministry8. Again, that's paypal.me/ministry8. All that is sent goes right to supporting this ministry and doing the work of God right here in this part of the vineyard. So I'm just so grateful to those who continue to bless us in this space. Amen. So let me get to my, okay. So again, we look forward to seeing you all on Wednesday, for God is good and he's worthy to be praised. God bless you all. I love you all. You all take care. You all continue to pray my strength in the Lord as I pray you all. And remember that you just what, a seed in the ground, but breakthrough is coming. God bless you.
Thinking about the world, looking at the nation, suicide, genocide, homicide. Three words come to mind, times are changing, yeah. No more rumors, there are wars going on. Twisted doctors, scientists making clones. Economy got some backs against the wall. People dying for no reason at all. People of God don't even read their Bibles. There's no faith, no trust in the Word. But everybody seems to be quoting Scripture. It's just another word they heard. Pastors leaving pulpits because they're tired. It's all based on how we feel. Overheard two people speaking.